Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, the 26th of May, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. It's your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and I am joined by Sue at the helm. And let me just tell you how much I appreciate you again, Sue.
Well, thanks, Carl.
Because we were having some computer issues yesterday, and you'd already finished your day. And it taken off, and we finally got the IT guy in here, and then you were on the phone with him for a while, and trying to figure out what happened there. And I think we got everything fixed.
I think so.
Everything's working like that.
Yes, he came in. I was very happy because I came in, and everything is working like a charm.
How about that? One of the things that is happening this morning, by the way, is we're going to play a pre-recorded show from Dr. Orna Gill. And from her Thursday night show, and to get this information out about how the COVID-19 has affected generations of women. And she's going to be, as soon as we finish up here, we'll be playing that without breaks. And then I'll be back before the hour's up, and then we'll continue with the show up at 8 o'clock. Mark Story from Haven Humane will be in about when they're going to open, and plus a few other things we want to talk about. But what's the weather look like this week?
Today, sunny and hot, and this will continue. An excessive heat warning through Thursday, so be prepared. Today, it's a little bit hazy, but it's still going to be warm. A high of 98 and a low of 68. Tomorrow, sunny and 100 with a low of 68 under mostly clear skies. Tonight, a few high clouds. And then for Thursday, sunny and warm with a high of 102. However, it could get warmer. Earlier this week, the projections were, as of yesterday, 104 maybe. So Thursday night, mostly clear and a low of 70, then back up to 100 for Friday, with lows dropping down in the 50s. The thing is, there's a slight chance of thunderstorms, which isn't good, as we see these very dry temperatures. So cross your fingers. Those don't even occur, but, that's a roll of the dice at this point. For Saturday, a chance of showers, then thunderstorms after 11 a.m., mostly cloudy and 78 with a low of 57, and a chance of showers for Sunday with a high of 79, overnight lows in the 50s. Now, it's currently hazy. Red Bluff is 68, 67 in Anderson, 62 in the city of Shasta Lake, and 64 in downtown Redding. We do have a couple of traffic hazards this morning at 99 West and Gallagher Avenue, an animal hazard at North Market Street and Benton Drive, a couple of dogs out. And if you're traveling between Redding and the coast, expect delays. This is 299 West, 299 East, construction near Aden, and just north of Shasta Lake, and all the way to the Oregon border, expect delays down to one lane near Dunsmuir this morning. They continue to widen Interstate 5, so be careful. That's between Redding and Anderson. They do have construction on 36 and 99 as well. Now, Carl, back to you.
Okay, the weather reports and the traffic reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Now, before we start the show, Linda and I went up to IGO, to the cemetery up there yesterday, and visited some people. I guess you say visited some people we knew, Bob McIntosh and John Kluckner and, several others. And it was just, Linda put a picture of it on Facebook as you come in through the entrance, and it's just really beautiful what they've done up there. The grass, I hate to say it, but the ambiance up there is just wonderful. And there was a number of people up there. Of course, there's flags on every grave site. And we sat down up there and just kind of watched, for several minutes before we left. And on the way back, we had to stop at a store. And Linda had her mask on. And when it's 100 degrees outside, the mask becomes a burden. I don't care who's wearing it. So you can imagine if people working outside that have to wear a mask, this is very hard to do, very difficult, because it is hot. And you're rebreathing with your air, your exhaust, you might say. But there's, several other things we want to talk about today that have to do with the continued shutting down of our state, including the Ninth Circuit Court, said that churches still can't open, even if they distance themselves. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But now we have Dr. Orna Gale show. That she's on the third Thursday of every month. And we wanted to replay this one for a few reasons, but mainly because she had some great guests on. And it talked about the impact on women through this ongoing crisis we're going on. So we're going to play that straight through, no commercials, and we'll be back right after that's over. So.
Hello, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, Your Talk Radio. Today we are talking on the Dr. Orna Gill Show about the roles of women in the pandemic. We want to talk about the increased roles of women as the matriarch during these times and how women's lives in COVID-19 pandemic have changed. And will they stay changed, or will we evolve and progress from this? How is this experience uniquely affecting us, and how can we help each other to continue doing well or doing better in this time of great stress minimal personal time. So I want to introduce today myself, obviously Dr. Orna Gill, and we're going to have a bunch of guests because this is going to be a generational discussion. You know, women step up in times of crisis and we assume a role of responsibility. But what we're doing now is we're experiencing a disruption in social order. We can't visit one another. We can't socialize. We're segregated, isolated. And how do we manage our lives? We have to figure out how to persevere. The concept today is we're going to talk to multiple generations of women and see how this impacts how we're impacted by the virus experience specifically. My guests today are Mackenzie Chestnut, a 17-year-old young woman from Reading who will be giving the experience of youth. We have Kristen Mitchelson, who is a stay-at-home mom but former pediatric ICU transplant nurse. That's a mouthful. Who will be telling us about the experience of coming in new to Reading and raising children in a lockdown situation. We will also be speaking with Jen Gill, who is on lockdown and self-sheltering in place in San Francisco with two very, very small children. Then we'll be speaking with Joyce, who is in her 80s, and will be expressing the experience from that point of view. We also have Beanie Bawa will be joining us at 10:40 a.m. Will be joining us a little later in the show to talk about her experience of sheltering in place with an elderly parent in the house, as well as two children. So there's multiple exposures from her to her family from a frontline healthcare worker. So let's get started with the discussion. Please introduce yourself, Mackenzie, and tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us how your experience. Your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic.
Okay, my name is Mackenzie Chestnut. I'm a 17-year-old. I'm a junior at Foothill. I would say the main thing that's changed for me is I've just lost all structure because I can't go to school. I can't see the people that I saw every single day. So for the first few weeks, it was really, really hard for me because I was just on my phone in bed just for hours because I didn't know I didn't have a routine mm-hmm. because school was the only thing keeping me going. Like, even after school, I had my homework that I had to get done for the next day. Like, I had a structure. Mm-hmm. And I just have none of that, so I've really had to learn to, like, make a routine for myself because...
Have you done that?
Yeah.
What's your routine?
I force myself to wake up at least 9 every day. I know. I can't even imagine waking up earlier than that now, which is, that's going to be so rough going back to school. It's going to be really bad. And then I start my homework right away, and I get all my homework done before I can give myself free time. And I've cut back on my phone time a lot more because I just realized how much that was, it was just really bad for me. It was just making me so unproductive. So I've gotten a lot better with that. And I've been doing a lot more of, like, painting and just more creative stuff that I didn't have a lot of time to do during school, which is actually really nice. Mm. So, yeah.
How do you maintain connectivity with your friends, and how do you manage the stress or, you know, the challenges of being apart from everyone?
Me and my friend group are really close. I've had a very tight-knit group of friends since last year, so it's very hard not to see them every day. Like, I spend every day, even after school, with them, so that was really hard. We text every single day. We have a big group chat. We do Zoom calls. Uh-huh. We've done car dates, I guess, where we go to our school's parking lot and we sit in the back of our trunks and we just talk for like 3 hours.
Wow.
So it's kind of sad, but yeah.
It sounds like you're accommodating very well, actually. Yeah. That's very interesting. I wanted to get into also the discussion with you, Kristen. Please introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic. And we'll also welcome Jen Gill, who's on the line, who has a very similar experience. I want you guys to go into it. But first, let's start with you, and we'll get started we'll have a couple of people exchanging on what's going on, because it's a really big deal with all the kids at home and that kind of stuff.
Yes, I'm Kristen Mitchelson, and I'm the proud mother of 3 children, a 4-year-old girl, a 7-year-old boy, and a 9-year-old girl. And we are actually brand new to Reading. We had moved and had just been settling in for about 2 to 3 weeks before COVID hit and the shelter-in-place order took place. And prior to that, our life was pretty chaotic. My husband took a job here in Reading in October, and so I was managing the whole household in the Sacramento area and trying to sell a home and get transitioned here. And so by the time I got here, I was kind of coming off of all that, and then all of a sudden shelter-in-place hit, and basically life put the brakes on, and we kind of just all stopped in time for a bit, took a little time to process before I was able to kind of reformulate a plan to keep my kids on track.
That is, we're going to get into the details of how you do that. I wanted to introduce our caller. Her name is Jen Gill, and full disclosure, my sister-in-law, and a brilliant educator from what I understand. Welcome, Jen Gill.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on. Introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic, and how you see yourself differently. How has your role changed in the family unit? We're looking forward to it.
So my name is Jennifer Gill. I have 2 young children. My daughter just turned 1 year old, and I have a son who is 3. And kind of ironically, right before the coronavirus and the shelter-in-place restrictions came along, I quit my job. I'd been working full-time this whole time, and I decided I wanted to take a short break before moving on to my next role. And so I quit, I think, like 2 weeks before the shelter-in-place restrictions came along. And my goal was to, you know, catch up on sleep and, you know, take a break and then look for my, you know, next job, but, you know, obviously that has completely changed now. I've didn't know when I quit my job I was going to become a full-time, you know, homeschooling teacher.
Yeah.
And so have been spending a lot of time, you know, researching, you know, classes and things to do with my son. I think the hard thing with the really young children is you don't want to give them too much screen time. But the only way for them to really learn is through a lot of these digital platforms. And so, you know, his preschool has been offering some Zoom classes, so we've been doing that. And then on the side, I've also been researching and signing him up for other classes as well and doing just things on teaching, you know, using books and toys and games and things like that.
Yeah, so your children are much smaller, and that definitely takes a lot of energy and makes a lot of demands. Kristen, you have children who are a little bit older than that, probably kind of stacked up a little from 4 to 9. Tell us how you developed an educational approach or how you coping with it, how you're dealing with sheltering at home.
Well, initially it was kind of up to me for the first couple of weeks while the school was trying to figure out their plan and what platforms they were going to use to educate the children and help us parents with materials. So similarly, I was, you know, finding more digital platforms, signing up for various classes. A lot of celebrity authors and things like that were offering free classes on YouTube, whether it was, you know, reading or art, but at that point, about a week into it, my children's school gave all the parents a bunch of materials, and then we've integrated into the Zoom distance learning, which has gone really, really well, and the teachers are putting a lot of time and effort into helping us parents keep the kids engaged, and not just on track to where they were, but moving forward as well educationally, so they'll be prepared for their following school year.
That's excellent. I want to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more to the three of you about how we tolerate stress and how things are changing for us in our lives and in our roles. We'll be back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Redding, this is Dr. Orna Gill and the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We're talking about the impact of COVID-19 on women and our roles. We are stepping up to our the demands being made upon us. It's challenging for youth. It's challenging for women with children. And it's challenging for our mature listeners. So wanted to once again remind everyone that we're talking to Jen Gill. We're talking to Mackenzie Chesnut and Kristen Mitchelson about their respective roles and experiences in the COVID-19 pandemic. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some positive and negative experiences unique to this lifestyle that you may have. You want to start there, Mackenzie?
Sure. I'd say the most negative thing for me is my lack of motivation, mm-hmm. probably, again, because I talked about how I lost my routine, so I had to make up a new one. But also just, like, blending my home life and my school life, like, doing my homework or, like, doing all of my school in my room, it's just so hard. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, for me and a lot of my friends, we have always been very motivated students, and I even find myself, like, getting very distracted or pushing off my work, which is really unlike me, which kind of makes me nervous about how I'm going to feel going into next year. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty prepared, but yeah. I hope it goes well with, I don't know, the amount that I've been learning. We'll see. But
yeah, that's a big question that we have, and that's one of the fears and the stressors that we face is that lack of structure and motivation. How do you, Jen Gill and Kristen, how do you guys, tell us about a negative or positive experience unique to this lifestyle?
Well, for me, I suppose if we're listing positives, the lack of the morning hustle, the ability to just sit there and savor the sweet moments and sweet conversations with my children on the couch rather than trying to slam together lunches and get them breakfast and out the door by 7. It's always been a chaotic part of the day that I've not looked forward to. Mm-hmm. So just having the memories and those moments together that we wouldn't have had otherwise is a very positive aspect to this.
I love that. What about you, Jen?
Yeah, I would say definitely it's all the extra time we have with the children. I think one really nice thing is both my husband and I, since we're working from home, we were able to witness and see our daughter take her very first step.
Wow.
And I remember with our son, we were out of the house, like, working, and so we weren't able to witness his very first step that he took all by himself. And so I remember being extremely sad about that. So Definitely one positive is just being able to spend all this quality time with the children and then being able to capture all these really special moments with them.
Do you guys think that some of these positive experience should inform the way we reintegrate into opening society? Do you think any of these experiences should inform us in how we manage coming back? Maybe we want to hold on to some of these things. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think just the act of slowing down in general, I think our culture as Americans is, get as much done as possible, running the rat race, not really taking into account the lives of the people around us, whether it's a complete stranger or someone that we may not have spoken to in a while, and life has just kind of gotten the better of us. So just slowing down and appreciating the simple moments in life, for sure.
What about you, Jen?
I think what's really nice about this is that it's actually shown that many jobs can be remote. I know before when I was working, a lot of my coworkers, some of them really wanted to work remote, and they said, no, you couldn't. You have to come in the office every day. But now with this, obviously everyone's working from home, and I think it really shows that, you can actually offer a lot of flexibility in terms of how people work. And even Twitter just recently announced that, many of their employees, if they want to, they can just work from home forever if they wanted to and just stay as a remote employee.
That's very interesting. And how do you, in terms of productivity and self-motivation, and it's something that Mackenzie's struggling with, how do you speak to that when people are having to work from home? How do you manage that?
I think right now it's very tough to be productive being a parent, and if you're being a parent and working at the same time, because schools are closed, and so parents are have the burden of educating their children. But if we were able to slowly reopen society and children were allowed to go back to school, and people weren't worried and had nannies coming over, then I think parents would be able to be as productive as the non-parents and work just as well.
That's interesting. I wanted to touch base a little bit about Zoom and the new online kind of socializing and learning and working that we do. There's an article on Vox and also drew out from the New York Times that women on Zoom spend the first few minutes apologizing for how we look, first thing. So, my makeup, my under eye bags, my hair, my wrinkles, my outfit, my eyebrows, what is the aesthetic offenses that we commit during COVID? Do you guys see yourselves doing that at all? Is that something that you no? Mackenzie's shaking her head now.
I feel like I really have been, this is so weird to say, but I really like my generation right now. I feel like we just are embracing it, and we are so, we can relate so much to each other. All of the Zoom classes I've done, especially for Spanish, which is at 9:30 in the morning, we all have to drag ourselves out of bed. We're all just in bed, in our pajamas. We don't care. We're all going through it together.
You don't have the apologies on Zoom. What about you, Kristen and Jen?
If we're being real here, today's the first day I put on makeup.
Yeah, same.
But, I've actually kind of embraced the ability to not put on makeup and not have to feel the pressure to do that, and I think it's been really great for my skin lately. But I don't know. I suppose I've apologized a couple times, but it hasn't happened to me so much, but I have witnessed it in a few of my daughter's teachers, not from school, but other activities we're doing through Zoom, and, you know, apologizing for their long hair and things like that. And I think it's kind of nice to see where everyone's naturally going.
I agree. What about you, Jen? Do you have that experience, or have you seen women do that? Do you yourself do that?
No, not really. I mean, when I was working, I would work from home maybe once every 2 weeks or so. Uh-huh. And I didn't really put any effort in terms of getting on call with, you know, on Zoom calls. I think one nice benefit about working in tech is that, you know, people kind of just dress however they want. Yeah. Most people just wear, like, company T-shirts and jeans mm-hmm. or sweatpants, and, you know, people don't really bat an eye at that.
You can wear sweatpants to work? I shouldn't
speak. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can wear anything you want to wear. People don't really – a lot of these tech companies, like, a lot of people don't really care what you wear.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Unless you're meeting clients, then you're expected to dress up.
I see. I mean, a lot of people – I don't know if I want to keep pursuing this topic, but I do think that women feel the need to be attractive, to be liked. And so there's a lot of pressure to keep up self appearances, but you know, it's, you want to avoid looking tired, ill, or creepy. But in fact, what's happening is that, you know, women look a lot different than men on camera, because men just don't have a haircut, right? Women don't have everything, all the trappings of femininity that we were kind of engaging in very heavily. Does that at all free up any time or energy for you guys? I see that no one here is having the okay, that's okay. It's just something that I wanted to bring up because it's important to be careful about over-apologizing, you know. And that's great that in your generation we don't see that. Okay. So one more question I wanted to get into was, we are going to be talking more about mental health, stress, anxiety, and loneliness. And we will also give you some good tips on where to go for that when we come back from our break. This is the Dr. Orna Gill Show talking about women's experience in COVID. So...
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric companies rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com. Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online at AM 1460. This is a pre-recorded show from Orna Gill. Carl Bott from Free Fire Radio will be coming up at 8 o'clock. Once again, this is a pre-recorded show from Orna Gill on KCNR.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We're here talking about the impact of women's roles in society and the impact of society's new policies on women in the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're here in the studio today with multiple generations and seeing how we are coping with it. We wanted to talk a little bit about the impact on the more mature audiences, and we're going to have a caller calling in a couple of minutes by the name of Joyce, who will talk to us about the experience of isolation during the mitigation policies that we're seeing. So I wanted to ask our guests in the studios today, how do you take care of yourself? How do you cope with stress? How do you cope with loneliness? How do you cope with anxiety or the pressure of having to self-motivate? Are there any special things that you do to keep yourself sane? Mackenzie, you want to start?
I've dealt with stress even during school, but now it's just a different kind because I'm kind of just having to teach myself everything, and that can be very stressful. But I find myself talking to my parents a lot more. I was definitely the type of person to just keep everything in, because I would just kind of distract myself from my thoughts. I don't like being in my own head. That's like my least favorite thing. So now that I'm like trying to cut back on like my technology and stuff, I'm like forced to be in my thoughts and like, I should probably talk to someone about this. So yeah, I feel like I've been expressing myself a lot more with my parents, and they give great advice. So
that's really, nice. You listen to your parents' advice?
Yes,
that's huge.
Goals.
Go ahead. What about you guys, Jen? Kristen, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting breaks, and so we're really lucky that we have a nanny here, and so so she's been helping out, taking care of the children, and so taking breaks, sleeping. Other things have been helpful with the isolation front is me and a group of my really close girlfriends from college. We try like once a week to do like a Zoom call together, and we all catch up. And so it's been nice, you know, starting to, you know, socialize again, even though it's just on Zoom.
Hmm. And what about you? How do you do?
For me, the act of having to be at home isn't an overly stressful experience for me. I'm lucky in the fact that we just bought a property where we have 4 acres. And so the kids have plenty of room to stretch, and we've bought baby chicks and baby goats, and so we have a lot going on for us in our lives outside of getting the schoolwork done and dance classes done and things like that. The thing that will ultimately always stress me out in the end is the fear of the unknown and needing a plan of action. As a former ICU nurse, it was always, for me, you know, prepare for the worst but always hope for the best.
Yes, exactly.
I'm kind of carry that over into, you know, my everyday life. I always want a plan. And I think it probably drives my husband a little crazy. But if I am feeling overly stressed, you know, without an outlet, I will speak to my husband, and he's always a good ear, as well as my extended family as well.
We have some resources for you guys, too. Just to mention the NAMI.org, which is N-A-M-I period O-R-G, National Alliance on Mental Illness. Today is, May is Mental Health Month. So there's a lot of information online. There's also the ADAA, or the Anxiety Depression Association of America. We know that depression and anxiety are more common in women. There's also hormonal factors at play with PMS, perimenopause, postpartum depression. So we know that hormones do play a part of this. And it sounds like all of you have talked about talking as a way to relieve anxiety or stress. Are there any other activities that you like to do, like stretching, yoga, reading? I don't know. What are you guys usually cooking? Is there anything that you're learning?
I enjoy cooking and baking, probably a little too much, but that's something the kids and I have been doing together in the kitchen, as I've been teaching them how to bake now that I have the time to do that, and that's been helpful. Mm-hmm. Exercise is always a good outlet. Mm-hmm. I have a spin bike at home, a Peloton, and when I'm really feeling the need, I can get on that and let some energy go.
That's awesome. What about you, Jen? How do you, what other ways do you, when you take a break, what do you do?
Sleeping is a very big one, and then we're finally starting to like watch just like, you know, a couple like TV shows on Netflix. I haven't like been watching TV in a while. And then the other one is exercise. We have a Peloton treadmill, and it's been amazing, and so I've been starting to run again, so it's been nice.
That's amazing. We have on the line another caller by the name of Joyce, and she is a mature person in her, close to 80, I believe, and would like to welcome you, Joyce, to the conversation. Please introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic.
My name is Joyce Jacobson. I've been living in Reading for about 15 years now. In retirement, well, semi-retirement, and actually, it really hasn't changed my life much. I mean, maybe other than going shopping and things like that, but I'm a pretty much stay-at-home gal and, you know, hang out with my friends and things.
Do you feel any extra fear surrounding the pandemic, given your risk factors?
No, not really.
That's awesome. Do you feel like you're having any kind of problematic isolation from your family or from your friends that causes you any anxiety or anything like that?
No, I stay pretty much connected with family and friends via social media and telephone conversations and stuff. I'm looking forward to when this is all over, but I have no problem staying at home either.
You are talking amongst women of many generations and wanted to see if you could share some wisdom with us. Do you have any advice for us during this age of isolation and age of intent?
Well, yeah. Hopefully you're stocked up on wine.
Don't worry
but,
about that.
Other than that, you know, you just have to stay cool and calm and collected and just try and maintain some kind of lifestyle at home and interface social media with friends and family.
That's very helpful. I think the wine thing is good, too. Absolutely. So I had a couple more questions. And any one of you can answer this. How do we women impact in the opening of society? Is there anything special we can contribute or control in terms of opening society with utilizing our positive and negative experiences to inform the way we open?
Well, I think the positivity is the most important thing. If, you know, you're going to be a Debbie Downer all the time, it doesn't make any difference whether we're in this type of situation or just a regular everyday living. Positiveness is the only way to be every day. I know you can't do it every day and you have your down days. But really, I think if you stay positive, you'll be just fine.
Positive in the sense that there's going to be hope, that everything is going to go back to normal. Or a positive in a sense that this is, you make the best of where you are in the moment?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually, because I really don't think everything will be like it was. I think that it will, everything is going to change a great deal from, I mean, anything that you can imagine will change now. But as I say, if you look at it as the positive, and you're up for the change, and you're ready to move on, I think we'll be fine.
Let me ask each participant here today, how do you think things are going to change? What do you think is going to stay permanent from the changes that we've accommodated in this pandemic? What do you think is going to stay permanent? What do you wish would stay permanent for you and your experience? Why don't we start with Jen. Are you still there?
Yep, still here.
Okay.
I think hope is like will remain the same or like learnings that we can take from this is I feel like it's actually interesting. I feel like there's a lot of the isolation piece, but I feel like I'm actually becoming even more connected with my friends. I think like, you know, as a mom you tend to not talk to your friends as much or see your friends because you're so busy with your kids. But with the pandemic, you know, me like Zooming with a lot of my friends and texting them more, I feel like I'm actually becoming more in touch with my friends, and I think that's a great great aspect of this, and I kind of hope that that kind of continues to stay because a lot of my friends, especially from college, don't live near me, and so, you know, it's not like we can see each other in person easily. And so we were even saying that, like, hey, these Zoom calls are great. We should continue doing this.
Even after the pandemic is over, you can't really, yeah, that makes sense, actually. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, before we never even thought about doing Zoom calls. It's either like we would, you know, randomly text each other or, you know, once every couple years see each other in person. But now we're doing these Zoom calls. We're like, hey, this is such like a great idea, great way for us to keep connected. We should just continue doing this even after, you know, this coronavirus thing goes over.
That's amazing. So Zoom is here to stay. I love it. About you, Mackenzie? What do you think?
I think that I really learned about what I need to prioritize when I'm not consumed with schoolwork, because when I am in school, I do consume myself with schoolwork, and I try to get, like, volunteer hours in, and, like, I'm going to have to start doing, like, college applications over the summer and stuff.
And I've kind of, like, figured out over quarantine, like, what I like to do, like, what makes me happy when I have free time. And I kind of realized that's something I need to, like, put into my school life. Like, I've been trying to keep up more with, like, current events. And I feel, like, way more informed. I'm like, oh, I should probably do that, like, during school, too. And even just, like, I know, like, I've realized, like, when I need to give myself, like, mental breaks. Because I realized how much in the first 2 weeks I was like, I really needed this break. Because I was so consumed with school. So, yeah, I feel like I've kind of just figured myself out more. So.
What do you think, Kristen?
Well, I definitely agree with the whole Zoom aspect and seeing where that platform can take us even when life reopens, because it's already taken my family in some interesting directions. For instance, my children are all Irish dancers, and it's based out of Sacramento, but a commitment I made when I moved here was that I'd be driving to Sacramento on a weekly basis so they would be able to continue that. And now with Zoom, their progress that they're doing with their teacher through that platform, they're just going leaps and bounds. So it seems like a more manageable way for me to kind of balance out life. And that kind of ties into the aspect of not going back to life at full speed ahead, keeping kind of a little bit of a slower pace and keeping perspective on what's important. Because before this, I was spending about 2 to 3 hours a day in my car, taking the kids to various things and just getting snippets of their day. Uh-huh. And now I feel like wholeheartedly and whole part of their day. I'm seeing it, you know, from start to finish and everything in the middle, and it's been a lovely experience.
Wow. Have you always been a good role model to them, or do you ever break down a little?
Oh, I have my moments. I think most people describe me as pretty calm and collected, but behind the scenes I have my moments. I'm not perfect by any means, so when I get tired, I'll have a moment.
Well, speaking of which, we're going to take a quick moment, a quick break, and don't go anywhere, listeners. We're going to be right back on this very fascinating talk.
This is a pre-recorded show from Dr. Orna Gill on KCNR 96.5 FM, online and AM 1460. Carl Bott will be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour on KCNR, once again, 96.5 FM, online and AM 1460.
Welcome back, Redding. This is Dr. Orna Gill. You're listening to the Dr. Orna Gill Show. Today we're talking about the impact on women in their roles in society and their experiences in the home during the COVID-19 pandemic, and how we can step up together, and what we foresee and participate in opening society as we start very carefully to do that. I have on the line, I'd like to welcome a very, very special guest, Ms. Beanie Bawa. She is here on the line talking with us about her experiences in the COVID-19 pandemic. Beanie, please introduce yourself and tell us, how has your life changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic?
Hi, Orna. This is Mrs. Bawa. It has changed quite a bit. You know, everything seems to be changing with kids, you know, my daily routines. I used to go to gym, which has changed now. I can't go there anymore. Mm-hmm. Staying home, trying to work out at home, and then with the kids. Mm-hmm. I won't lie, when this pandemic started, it was very difficult for me to grasp all this information in my mind.
Yeah.
That how am I going to help my kids in this time?
Yeah.
You know, it was very frustrating, because going to school for kids for 6 hours is completely different, and then having them study at home is completely different.
Wow. How do you make them do that, you guys?
It's just, you know, I have to work around them. They never work around me, so I have to work around them. Okay, let's play this. I try to make it as, you know, as playful as I can with them, so they don't feel bored, and at the same time, they're engaged with what they're doing.
That's like a big new thing, to be an educator with no education on how to be an educator.
Yes, you know, ever since I left school, it's been, 20, you know, I have two boys. One is in first grade and the other one is in fourth grade, actually. So, you know, when I completed these grades, it's been almost, what, 22, 23 years now? So it's completely changed. But I won't lie, you know, my kids go to grand school. It's been very helpful. The teachers have been on top of it. They've been trying to get in touch with me through the emails, Zoom. So, you know, we're pulling through. We're pulling through.
What kind of advice can you give us from your experience, from your standpoint? We're women here in multiple generations, and everyone seems to be saying that Zoom is here to stay. Do you have any good advice that you can give us during this period?
You know, I would just tell everybody, you know, as I was giving up to begin with, I would say just stay put, you know. Mm-hmm. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to think positive.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to think about our families, you know, our community,
mm-hmm.
that we all have to stick strong, you know, whatever the outcome would be, we will all pull it together. Just don't give up. That's what my thing is. Don't give up.
You sound like Joyce. Joyce, are you listening?
I am here, darling.
Yes, great. What do you think about that? You two sound very similar in the way that you're speaking.
Well, yes, I believe that, you know, I don't have children at home. I haven't had children at home for, 50 years. But I am so in awe of these moms and dads that have taken the challenge of educating their children, because it is a different time. We all came from a different time. And I will tell you, I have such a different view of teachers and administrators now than I have in the past. It's just good luck to all of them, and just that know that we appreciate you for all you do for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We absolutely do.
Yes.
So how do you self-care in this age? Do you care about, you know, a lot of people stop washing their hair, stop putting on makeup. Nobody doesn't. People wearing sweatpants and flip-flops all day.
Are you in my bedroom? Let me tell you, there is called a cheat day. There's always a cheat day.
Yeah.
So when you're like, okay, forget about everything, this is about me now.
That's awesome. I love it.
And you eat everything that you want.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And then when you go back to the real world, put your Spanx on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I love it.
It is hilarious, yes. But you know, as much as I want my kids to go back to school, but I know I will miss these days. I'll cherish this time, you know, as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've got out of this. You know, cherish this. Enjoy your kids. This is the time when you can enjoy them the most. They're with you. They're there. So, you know, once they go, you know, they'll be in their own world once they're, you know, back to school and all that. So just enjoy them.
I appreciate it. And it sounds like, Mackenzie, you actually enjoying your parents for some bizarre reason as a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have our moments. It's hard because school is kind of like my getaway from home.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been too bad, actually. I haven't had, like, any, like, outbursts or any big fights with them or anything. No, it hasn't been too bad.
That's
awesome. Great.
That is great. That's very rare. Yeah. Wonderful information. And so do you think that do any one of you have any thoughts on the way things may change socially, economically, and politically for women? Does anyone want to contribute to that in any way? Any thoughts on that?
You know, it will be definitely changing, you know. We will have to change our habits as we go out, you know, all the time, mm-hmm. as thinking about our community and ourselves for our families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to follow the guidelines. We have to, in order to protect everybody else and yourself,
mm-hmm.
I think we have to follow the guides. So just, you know, like, if we are going out, just wear masks, If you have to wear gloves, wash your hands more often, have a hand sanitizer. I know we are short on all of these things for now, but these things will have a big role in our life from moving forward.
Hmm. You think it's a permanent change that's going to happen?
I think as a retired person that...
the same for you.
That it is... it's going to be financially, I don't think we could, because for myself, I'm on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's going to backslide a bit, and it'll be a little harder to go out because things will go up because people have been, you know, out of work or they haven't been able to open up their business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think financially it might be a little rough on most retirees, anyway.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Wall Street's on a roll this morning, a rally too powerful for President Trump to ignore, says White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
With the U.S. and other countries reopening from coronavirus shutdowns, the financial markets reflect hope for economic recovery. And President Trump took notice shortly after the trading day got underway. He tweeted that the stock market is up big and that states should open up ASAP. The president declared that the transition to greatness has started ahead of schedule.
While it is up slightly, consumer confidence remains near a six-year low in the face of coronavirus business shutdowns. Home prices up sharply in March, although sales plunged, while what buyers there were forced to bid on a sharply diminished supply of houses. A U.S. biotech firm launching human trials of a coronavirus vaccine with hopes of releasing a proven version later in the year. Dr. Gregory Glenn is chief scientific officer at Novavax.
We right now project that we can make at least 100 million doses by the end of the year. And 1.5 billion doses in the coming year in 2021.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson standing by a top aide who's under fire for flouting coronavirus restrictions that he had helped to impose on the UK. Scottish National Party politician Ian Blackford says it's easy to understand the outrage.
I think people rightly are angry that there seems to be one rule for all of us and another rule for people like Dominic Cummings that seems to be able to do as he pleases.
Cummings rejecting calls that he stepped down. And looking at the Wall Street numbers now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 658 points, or gain of more than 2.5%. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 125 points, and the S&P 500 Index is up 59 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're about to hear a commercial for a very unique mortgage team that has a very specific advantage that could save your family monthly and lifelong money. Two things you should know. One, we were started by a dad and his son and his wife and his sister-in-law, and we've grown to be a faith-focused mortgage team that's helping families across the U.S. We're faith and family at our core, and we don't hide it. Two, we've still stayed fairly small, on purpose. We're only about a couple dozen people, a makeup that we believe lets us truly know every person that calls. But we also have a big advantage. Our company is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, a reality that often allows us to get you a better rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
More than 40,000 people arrested in Zimbabwe accused of violating coronavirus restrictions.
Police say most of the arrests were to do with the rules of movement. Most people are forbidden from travelling more than 5 kilometres from their homes. Others were picked up for failing to wear masks or for keeping their businesses open. Most informal trading is banned, causing great financial hardship for the millions of Zimbabweans who work in the sector. In some cases, it seems police are using coronavirus rules as an excuse. Two journalists who were arrested for violating lockdown restrictions happened to be interviewing alleged victims of state torture at the time.
The BBC's Mary Harper, Britain's competition watchdog, launching an investigation into misleading reviews on several big websites
amid the surge in online shopping during pandemic lockdown restrictions. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. What do you get when you showcase two NFL quarterbacks and two top golf pros? Well, you get a TV ratings win.
With basketball, baseball, and hockey all on hold, it's a sign people are starving for live sports action. Turner Sports has Sundays, the match, Champions for Charity, drew an average of 5.8 million viewers, the most watched golf telecast in cable TV history. The previous mark, the 4.9 million who watched the 2010 Masters on ESPN, that was the year Tiger Woods returned after his personal problems. Woods was involved in Sunday's event, too. He and Peyton Manning beat Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady in a match that raised $20 million for COVID-19 relief funds. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
Lake of the Ozarks, Central Missouri, was packed over the weekend, prompting the St. Louis County Executive to urge those who ignored social distancing rules to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. Today, the 26th of May, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Your health, your choice. At Shasta Regional Medical Center, I'm here with Sue. And good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Carl.
What's the weather? It's going to be hot.
It is going to be
hot. It's going to be hot today. It's going to be hotter tomorrow.
Well, we have an excessive heat warning in effect today through Thursday. Today's high 98 with partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 68. But don't be fooled. Tomorrow's high 100 and 102 possibly by Thursday with overnight lows dropping in the 60s for tomorrow night, tonight, and then the 70s for Thursday night. Friday, sunny and hot once again with a high of 100. Friday night, a slight chance of thunderstorms. Hopefully that's not the case. Overnight lows dropping down in the 60s. And then for Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, a chance of showers and possible thunderstorms after 11 a.m. with a high of 78 and a low of 57. Then a chance of showers as well for Sunday with a high of 79. It is currently mostly clear, just a few high clouds. Red Bluff is 66, 65 in Anderson, 62 in the city of Shasta Lake, and 64 degrees in downtown Redding. If you're traveling north on Interstate 5, expect delays north of Shasta Lake. Near Dunsmuir, it's down to one lane. Also towards the coast between Redding and the coast, expect delays between Weaverville and Willow Creek. Also on 99, they have construction, as well as on 36 and 299 East. That is near Aden. Now, Carl, back to you.
Okay. The traffic and weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Now, our last hour was Dr. Rona Gill and one of the North State Now Thursday night shows, and we wanted to make sure that it got out because there was a slight glitch on the day, night that she was supposed to be played, but I thought it was important that people could hear the impact it's having on women in the North State, things like schooling your children and all the other things that go along with it. So thanks a lot to Dr. Gill for that, and had some questions about barbershops. It's supposedly today there's going to be a notice that says they can open. Now, if you look around, you may find a few that are open already. That's barbershops, beauty salons, probably nail places, too. Friday, they made an, you know, the Ninth Circuit Court said that churches couldn't open, but yesterday they announced that they can open. So there was some confusion on that. So churches can open, but again, they have to do social distancing also. Now, with me today is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you for your service. You know, yesterday being Memorial Day, where we honor those that have fallen for our country.
Yeah, thank you for yours, yeah.
And
thankfully, we only give some, right?
Yeah, some give all.
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny, you remember your first, you know, I remember the very last person I was with in combat that got killed, Megan McLean. And it's funny how you remember that day, because we were in our last couple of months before we rotated back, and she was killed in Ramadi by an IED. That was the last one that I worked with, you know, in that group. Now we lost a few others, but the last one that was in, that I knew personally like that. Yeah, so here it is. You can't help but go back and think of those people, those brave men and women that died in defense of our country.
Yeah, you know, for me, being in the Air Force and flying, we weren't in immediate combat. And yeah, we got shot at, but most of the people that I know that unfortunately perished were in airplane incidents. One of them, which was the first one when I was pretty young, was a guy that actually died in a U-2 over Korea.
Oh, okay.
So he was a pilot I flew with, and he went over to U-2 aircraft. And so that was the first time that, you know, holy cow, you know, the reality of, you know, I'm in the military, and this is real world.
Yeah, you don't come back all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to go into the specifics of what happened those days. But anyway, out at Eagle yesterday, and people were coming in and out because there was no official ceremony out there.
Right.
But we were out there for about 15 minutes, visiting a couple of grave sites. But I was noticing people were there already, were leaving. Other people were coming. It was a constant stream of people coming in and out there, though. It was in the flags up on all the headstones.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and Igo is just beautiful.
It is. And Mark George, who runs it out there, is just mm-hmm. a fantastic guy. And it was very weird yesterday for Tina and I, because normally on Memorial Day, we get up first thing in the morning and we go out to Igo, mm-hmm. and we help set up the chairs and the tents and get everything ready for the ceremony. And a bunch of our volunteers and staff go out and help from Hayden.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that for years. And so for us not to
see
do
all your
that yesterday was...
See all your volunteer shirts out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So for us not to do that yesterday was definitely still disappointing.
This, you know, it's the impact this has had, COVID has had on our country is going to be, you know, we haven't even begun. You know, we can count how many people, you know, quote, that have died from COVID, you know, getting close to 100,000. But we don't have any idea those other effects, businesses lost, suicides, domestic right. violence, all those things that are just a byproducts of this. And the faster we open up this, our country, our county, the better it's going to be.
I agree.
It's just my uneducated opinion.
I agree. And I think that there's, you know, and the experts, I'm going to use air quotes, have decided that there are ways that we can do that and do it safely. And so we need to do that.
You know? And fast.
Yeah,
and fast,
absolutely.
As fast as we can.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you all open?
Yeah,
Haven
so
Humane,
we
that,
did.
Is it open?
We did a soft opening last Monday. So basically, what does that mean? That means that our south gate is open. We're still doing appointment is still the best way to get through. If somebody does want to come in for adoptions or lost and found licensing, absolutely. Our shelter building that does the licensing and lost and found, the door is locked. Just knock on it. There will be somebody that will let you in as soon as possible. We're obviously limiting the amount of people in the lobby at one time, but we are handling customers. If you are interested in adopting, we do have an adoption special going. I believe it's $25 for cats and dogs right now. So if you want to do that, still the best way is to schedule an appointment. If you come in, absolutely, we're going to help you. You just might have to wait a little bit until the lobby's clear from the appointments. But if you do want to set up an appointment, you can call us at 241-1653. You can also message us on Facebook, or you can email adoptions@havenhumane.org. and get through to us on that way. If you go to our website, havenhumane.org, you can get a link to our pet finder and our adoptive pet, and you can see a bunch of our adoptable animals. So you can go in kind of with an idea of what you're looking for and talk to our adoption counselors. Our clinic, our veterinary hospital, also did a soft opening on Monday, so we're once again doing spay-neuters and doing appointments. Again, Facebook messaging. You can email at clinic@havenhumane.org. Or you can call 241-1658, and they'll return the call. Make sure you listen to the options and leave a message. So we are open. We've got about half staff, so we're still not to full hours because of the way we're staggering things right now, trying to keep the social distancing, but at the same time starting to open up more services to the community. So we're working through it the best we can. We are open 8 to 5 Monday through Saturday, though.
Okay, and we're here with Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is in the top 50 hospitals in the United States when it comes to cardiac services there, as evidenced by the Watson Health Organization. This is just one of the many reasons that you can trust your health, trust your loved ones to the people over there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your choice. We'll be right back with Mark Story, 8:14 in the morning, and it is a whopping 72 already, going up to 98 today.
Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Reading Rancheria is proud of our efforts to help lead our community to reopen the local economy in a safe and effective way. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria and a member of the Shasta County Roadway to Recovery Committee. I would like to thank Shasta County for practicing safe social distancing. As coronavirus cases continue to shrink, Shasta County is looking at ways to reopen our economy in a meaningful and safe way. Make no mistakes, we are not through this yet. We have, however, been blessed with an opportunity to discuss ways to reopen businesses. We are proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
I love the colorful clothes and the way the sun.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. And for a while, 605-456-7 is our phone number today, the 26th, 8:17 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Give them a call at 221-0441. Judy and her people have been helping people since 1993 and doing just a wonderful job of it. Continue to expand, continue to help people in our community. I'm here with Mark Story and talking about people that help our community. He's the CEO over at Haven Humane. And my question now is, what about you taking strays in again?
We are taking strays in, but what we really would like to do, it really worked really, really well during this, and we've realized that this may work better moving forward, is we'd like people to call or to message us on Facebook before they bring the animal in. A lot of times somebody's already looking for them, and we can place those back in their homes before they have to come into the shelter. Because that's, you know, if my dog got loose, I would really rather go to the neighbor's house and pick up my dog than have to come into Haven, pay a fee.
If Elk Killer disappeared, I'd call you first and then see what we could find from there.
So we're asking people to message us on Facebook first and usually give us a couple hours. And for the most part, most of the animals that were lost we found the owner for them pretty quickly. Some of them were overnight, but most of them were that day. So we really want to continue with that trend. But, yes, we are open to taking
strays. Did you recognize the animals when they were in their little mask?
Most of the animals weren't using masks or social distancing, so we have a stern talk.
Just like the rest of the people in Shasta County. Okay, if you want to wear a mask, I am not mask shaming because I wear a mask sometimes.
We actually are asking people to come into Haven to wear masks. Our staff is wearing masks and they're doing so to protect you. So we ask that the same respect is given to our staff. So they are wearing masks at Haven as a precaution.
I have found that the easier the mask is to use, the faster I will put it on. Like I've got one you have to tie around your back, you know, back of your head. Okay, so then you have to like work at it. I've got another one, though, that was given to me by Wind River that just fits around your ears. And I'll use that one instantly because it's so easy to use.
Yeah, and I have this one that goes just all the way over. It's like almost like a sock type deal. But it's really easy.
You know, the best part of that? It covers your face.
It
looks like the Air Force scarves because you guys wear scarves in your uniforms all the time. These little things go around your neck.
Okay.
I mean, don't you? I mean, I see it with a little scarf that goes around your neck.
That's because we're proud of flyers, yeah.
I like it, and especially the different colors they have on it. Does that have to do with the different types of plainy things that you all have?
Actually, it's a squadron scarf, yes. So every squadron has their own scarf. That is correct. I will bring in a scarf next time.
Geez, like Marines have their own rifle. You have your own scarves. We have our own rifles. Oh, well, that's okay. Bring me a scarfie.
Yeah. And we load up all your rifles, and we bring you where you need to go.
That's right.
On our planes.
And turn around as fast as you can and leave us there as we're waving goodbye.
That's called smarter, not harder.
This is why you all have, you know, people in the Air Force wear flight suits.
Yes.
Now, if a certain kinds of planes, like we found in the Marine Corps, if you were a C-130 pilot, your flight suit had an extra pocket in it for all the extra money they would give you because your plane was always breaking down in places like Nairobi instead of Mogadishu.
Purely coincidence.
Purely coincidence.
For those of you who don't know, Carl and I are very good friends, and we give each other grief all the time about it. But,
no, this was
mad respect.
This was Marine C-130 pilots.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't Air Force.
So back to the Haven stuff. So if you lose or you find a pet, please take pictures. Give us as much information as possible. Message us on Facebook. Call 241-2550, which is our animal control line, and let them know about it as well. And give us a little bit of time. You can also get it chip checked. We can check for a microchip if you want to bring it in, or we can have an officer check for it. But, it's pretty easy. We also have officers now out in the field starting last Monday. We have one in Reading and one in Anderson. Anderson is the normal, which is 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, not to include holidays and weekends. And then Reading is every
day. Did you
all
get involved with that eagle?
We did not.
Okay.
No.
And for people that are wondering what I'm talking about, there was an eagle alongside the road on 5, and there's I think, you know, 5 highway patrol cars and all the fishing game people. Unfortunately, the eagle died, and they said it was from something at 8, from what I understand.
Yeah, and we've had that before. It must be 4 years ago now, Captain Smith, before she retired, we had found an eagle that was in pretty bad shape. So her and I drove it down to UC Davis Medical Center. Unfortunately, it passed, and I believe it was, mercury or something that it had eaten and had poison. So, beautiful, beautiful bird. So,
with these illegal grows of marijuana. A lot of times they use illegal rodenticides. There are rodenticides you can use that are not going to kill anything but the rat. But you bring in other stuff and it'll kill everything in the food chain.
Yeah, and that's the worst part about all those grows is the stuff that they use. So, one other thing that I definitely want to talk about too is the heat. We talked about that. One of our officers called me on, it was Thursday or Friday, I'm not sure which day it was, but it wasn't nearly as hot as it's going to be today or tomorrow. And she had found a dog in a car. Somebody reported it had been there, they said, for a couple hours. She used the temperature gun. They have temperature guns in their vehicles, and it was 115 in the car. The dog was a husky, clearly husky 115. It's a bad combo. Looked like there may have been a water bowl, but it was completely dry. The dog was already in distress. Windows were down a little bit, and so she looked for the owner and couldn't find him. Gave it a couple minutes, and then just extracted the dog.
Busted the window.
No, I don't think she had to in this case, which is great, although she would have if she needed to. But, look, it's hot. Most of the community has been home, working from home, staying at home, whatever. They've spent lots of times with their dogs. My dogs right now are in their crate. I'm going to go pick them up after this and take them to work. I wasn't going to leave them in the car for this, but it's an adjustment. And just be aware that your animals should not be going with you right now. You may think you're only going to be in the store for 5 minutes, but it's usually a lot longer than that, and your car can heat up in 10 minutes. It's well over 100, and if it's 100 out, then it's at 120 in 10 minutes easily. And I had a good friend who lost a dog in a car a couple years ago. So, and it's just, it's easy to get in that habit of.
Well, people have been taking their dogs with them because they've been at home. So they'll just take the dog with them, and it's been cooler weather.
It's been cooler weather.
And all this, so, you know, we've talked about this already too, because when it, you know, it hits 90, it's, you know, your dog can die in that car. You leave it in there and you're so used to taking them with you.
Yeah. So please, please do not. Same thing goes for outside. Make sure they've got fresh water. Make sure they've got some kind of shade so they can get out of the elements because, you know, if you've got mainly asphalt cement out in your back and they're out there, that heats up. I mean, it's just a conductor of
heat. You also have dogs out there with double coats on them, so they're even warmer.
Yeah. There's an insulating factor in them as well, but they're hot. I mean, they're going to be hot just because they've got so much weight on them, but they're going to be hot. But, yeah, if it's hot for us, it's hot for them. So, you know, don't take them for walks when the asphalt and the cement is hot. If you can't hold your hand on there, then they can't hold their paws on there. And the back of trucks, you know, that's one of the big things. A lot of people are like, well, that's, you know, they're outside in the back of the truck. Well, most of those have bed liners of some kind or just a dark color. It's hot. I mean, it's scalding hot on that.
You need to go out and lay in it and see how hot it is just for a few minutes.
If you see that, please call 241-2550 and let our dispatcher know, and she's going to dispatch an officer out there.
Do not break the window yourself.
Yeah, no, don't. Make sure that you call and we get some assistance out there. Yeah, but please don't bring your animals out in the heat. You know, putting a bowl of water in there for 20 minutes in the next couple of days, that water's going to be gone in about two, and your dog's going to be in distress in about three or four. So. Don't chance it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's very important. Now, and we'll talk about it all summer.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
You know what? It's not just dogs. It's not just dogs.
No,
it's kids. People leave kids in there or you know, elderly people in the back of the car, and then they die, and they feel horrible, and we feel horrible. But you know what?
Yeah, and you think that, you know, the air conditioning's kicking, it's nice and comfortable, I'm only going to be in there 5 minutes. That heat, that air is gone in 2 minutes in this heat, in this Redding heat. And it's just, you know, even if you park in the shade, you might give it an extra, you know, couple minutes, but
now,
it's going
to
get hot.
If the car's running, the air conditioner's on, and your dog's listening to the Eagles, that's usually okay.
Yeah, that's going to be okay.
That's going to be okay.
Yeah, you might get a notice. For one of the officers, but the officer certainly isn't going to break the window on something like that.
Yeah, the dog's in there happy.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, singing along with, Desperado.
And now if your dog's singing along, then you might get a different notice on the window.
You know, usually Mark comes in here with, you know, like two or three sheets of paper. They're all typed out and things that are going on, but things aren't going on.
Yeah, that's I thought about it. I'm like, should I bring a list of topics? And I'm like, well. No, I mean, everything's canceled. So,
but now restaurants are opening, so you're going
to
start your...
Yeah, so restaurants are open. You know, we've been trying to get in touch with... it's supposed to be Sailing Boat in June. We haven't been able to get in touch with Sailing Boat to do that. And quite honestly, I think we're going to just put a pause on the second Tuesday Dining Club just because, you know, our restaurants, our partners, they're in a position where they need to make this money so that they can stay afloat right now. And I know that they'll continue this later. But, you know, Carlene's was this month, May, and I don't think that, you know, she was able to do it. Tina and I still went and got takeout that night. But, you know, in general, I would ask the community to please support these restaurants. I mean, everybody's got a favorite restaurant that they like and they go to, and please support them right now because, you know, this is hard on them. This is hard on them, their staff and everything else. A lot of them had to let staff go, and, you know, they're really going to need this community support to do that. So please do that. I know that I ask all of our Haven supporters to please look at who we normally do Second Tuesdays with and please support those guys, even though we may not be getting a Second Tuesday right now. For years they've supported us, you know, and they will in the future. And so it's our turn to support them, and I think it's really important.
And the problem is that if you follow these guidelines, which some are and some aren't, that, you know, you've shut down 50% at least of your tables.
Yep.
Which means you only bring in like 50% of your people that are there. You know, what's this do for trying to keep menus up? And so that right there cuts into their ability just to reopen again. Now, other Agreed. Places are just totally ignoring this, and they're bellied up to the bar, you know, six deep. And so, you know, this whole thing is, you know, it's time to get back out there again and start supporting our community and our local stores around
and,
here.
And a lot of places still have takeout. So if you don't want to go in and sit, just order takeout and go grab it. If you want to go in and sit, you know, I have lots of friends that are like, man, I could finally sit in my favorite restaurant and eat again. And that's great. If that's what you want to do, that's fantastic. Please do, you know. And if not, then, you know, get takeout because they're still making the food. If you're in the position to do that, then I highly recommend you do it.
Yeah.
And it would be great for our community.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. It's going to be 98 today. Let me give you a phone number, 221-2642 for Alliance Heating and Air. You know, you're kicking in again. You may have had it turned on a few times, but now we're getting ready for the rest of the summer. Are your filters clean? Are your air ducts working? Is your thermostat up to par? Sometimes the thermostats may need to be adjusted. They'll go up or they'll go down, and they can fix that. They can fix anything on any type of HVAC system over at Alliance Heating and Air. Very professional, voted best in the North State, and also a veteran-owned business, Alliance Heating and Air. Learn more at their website at homecomfort.org. If you need an entire system, they have it. If you're looking for an on-demand hot water system, they can do it. They've done it all for us, Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back with Mark Story. 8:30 in the morning here on the 26th of May, 74 degrees.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
And now back to our show.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
Welcome back. At Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, 834 in the morning, 76 degrees out there. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, opened up 10 years ago, right around this time, right after we did. And they have been a rousing success because of, one, they have the firearms that people want, all the accessories, classes down there on CCW, Hunter Safety. But their customer service is just outstanding at Bastiani Arms. Also, veterans, you get a discount at Bastiani Arms. I can't say enough about them. This is where I buy my guns. 2539 Larkspur, open Tuesday through Saturday. We're here with Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane, and they're open now. Mm-hmm. So you can start bringing in the strays. You're open for spays and neuters, and of course adoptions. And you were always open, kind of for adoptions.
We were doing by appointment only. Yeah,
yeah. But there's still social distancing there. If it's still better to work on appointments.
Yes.
Did you adopt out more animals during this time frame?
No. No,
because you saw some of these, you know, some shelters just adopted everything they had.
Yeah, we weren't going to do that. I've said this before, the realist in me, you adopt out 130 animals on the spur of the moment, you're going to have a whole lot of those coming back in the next few days. And there's no stories on those, obviously. So we wanted to make sure that when we did adopt out, that we did the best we could to make sure that we made good matches so that those animals and those families would be happy for forever, so that they'd be forever homes. So that's what we focused on. That's what we're going to continue to focus on.
Well, you know, people are saying is that a lot of them will take up dog for the 2 months because they're home, and then or a cat. And then all of a sudden now they're starting to go back to work.
Right.
And now that dog is having distance and separation anxiety.
Right.
And
right.
Cats will start finding places to sharpen their claws.
Right. And I heard Dr. Tennant on here the other day talking about just that. You know, you need to kind of work them into it. And that's, you know, my dogs haven't been in their crates in a while because we crate them whenever we're gone. And so this morning is the first test for them for a while. So I'll go pick them up and see how they're doing. But
do they put all four paws on the outside of the crate and hang on? Or are you trying to push them in?
No. They actually like their crates. During the day, we keep them open. And when we're home, they'll go in and lay in there. And, I mean, it's a safe place for them. So as long as you crate train properly, the dogs are fine in their crates. I mean, they're cave dwelling. It's home for them. It's very comfortable for them. They each have their own crate.
Do you keep it covered?
No.
Okay. But it still feels safe.
Yeah, we actually have the wire crate so they can see what's going on. We have a radio on for them and stuff so they have some background noise. And we actually even have a camera so we can take a look at them if we need to take a look at them from off-site. But, they like their crates, but the two big ones haven't been in their crates in a while. So we'll see how they do this morning. So we're going to ease them back into it just like that. And, you know, we really suggest that people that did adopt during this, you know, start coming up with some kind of plan for when you do go back to work, because it's going to be an adjustment for you. It's going to be an adjustment for your animals as well. And so we want to make sure that when animals are adopted, that it's a forever home. We say this all the time, that when you adopt, you're making a commitment to this animal for their life, and you need to really come through with that commitment.
Yeah, I mean, you think when you get a puppy, like we picked up Elkiller, that's going to be probably at least another 14. You know, it's 14 years of our lives.
Yeah,
at least. You know, because those little ones live longer.
Yeah.
And she may outlive me if she keeps this stuff up she's doing. when we've got the 4th of July coming up here soon, You'll be on before that. But for people to start thinking about, there's not going to be the Freedom Festival. However, there are going to be fireworks. And that has an impact on our pets.
Yeah, fireworks scare the heck out of dogs and cats. Cats are a lot harder to keep in, obviously. If they're outdoors, they're gonna run and just come back. But for dogs, for 4th of July, we always recommend, I mean, ultimately, it'd be great if they were all inside, just in the house and safe. If not, then maybe in the garage or somewhere safe or crated or somewhere where they're safe. If you can't do that, then...
Where they feel safe.
Right, where they feel safe, or at least where they can't get out. I mean, they're not really going to feel safe if they hear the fireworks. They're going to be scared. I mean, I know my dog's going to be scared. But if not, then, you know, if they have to be in the backyard, then we really ask you to go around and really make sure that's secure. If there's something they can jump on to jump over the fence, they're going to jump on it to jump over the fence, because whenever the fireworks go off and they get scared, it's fight or flight, and there's no fight, so they're going to flight. So they're going to run. And they're going to do whatever they can to get out. So it's up to us as responsible pet guardians to make sure that they can't. So, yeah, just plan ahead for that. You know, always 4th of July and New Year's, there's always going to be fireworks and gunshots and everything else that's going on, and it's going to scare them. So unlike thunderstorms, which we can't really plan for, because it happens on thunderstorms as well, but we can't really plan for that. 4th of July, New Year's, we can plan for. So,
you know, it's funny,
Elk
Killer doesn't respond to thunderstorms like she does to fireworks. Fireworks do bother her. Maybe it's the flashes, because we can see that. Even when, you're holding her, she's not crazy about this. But on thunder, doesn't seem to bother her, and I don't know why that is.
Different sound.
Maybe it's a lower, in some cases it's rolling and all that. We had to cancel something that is just huge for you all. And we saw that, and I thought, how sad that is.
Yeah, Camp Love a Pet.
Camp Love a Pet, because, again, putting people together. But I don't know. Are you going to try and maybe hold it in August?
We're hoping we can do the second camp, which is July.
Okay.
But, things have got to change, because obviously – with our camp, and this was obviously not a very easy decision for me. You of all people know that, my favorite 4 weeks of the year are two Camp Love a Pets. I absolutely love Camp Love a Pet. A lot of the camp kids they're like my kids. I've got a whole bunch of them graduating, from high school this year. Congratulations, all you guys, by the way. I'm proud of these kids and the counselors, the campers. Those 2 weeks are going to be very, I'll say lonely, because I think it's probably the best word, 2 weeks for me personally, because this will be the first time in, 7 years that I haven't done a camp in June. And so it wasn't an easy decision, but it really boiled down to safety and kind of the rules that's going on. We can't do social distancing with camp. We just can't. Quite a few of our counselors are in that higher age bracket, that is a little bit more susceptible. And so that was obviously part of the concern as well. But, really it boils down to, even if we had masks and everybody in masks, we still can't do social distancing. We just can't. Because we have an almost sometimes more than 1-to-1 counselor to camper ratio. And we need constantly hands on leashes, especially the first few days until they kind of get used to it with the dog. So, we just felt that it wasn't, the right thing to do the first camp. Again, not an easy decision. It's going to hurt those 2 weeks, but, we're hoping that we can do the July camp.
Well, maybe hopefully by then July will have opened up some more stuff. And again, as we're being told by the quote experts, here go my air parentheses, the heat kills this virus. And if we don't have any cases, in June and stuff like that, we should be able to open up a lot more.
Well, and that's why we didn't cancel the second camp. We canceled the first camp, and I had people asking me, they're opening more stuff up. Can't you start it back up? And no, once we make that determination and that camp.
Tell people quickly what Camp Love a Pet is.
Sure, absolutely. So Camp Love a Pet, we take 18 kids that are 10 to 15 years old. They come in. Some of them have been return campers. Some of them are brand new. They come in. We have an orientation on a Saturday. They randomly pick a leash and a collar out of a box. We have 18 to 20 dogs selected. We usually have a couple backups for camp dogs. They're shelter dogs. They get their dog almost every time the smallest kid gets the biggest dog. It's just kind of the way it works. And then over the course of 2 weeks, from 8 to 12 or 8 to 1, if we have field trips, we do have field trips. Two of the field trips go to Turtle Bay. We can't thank them enough. We do the animal show and do a tour there, and then we actually walk the sundial with all the dogs on the day before graduation. But they learn positive reinforcement with dogs. They walk on a leash. They work on loose leash work. They work on sit. They work on down. They teach them a trick. We have community members come in. We had a Reading Fire Department. We usually have Reading Police Department come with a canine, or Anderson Police Department come with a canine. And they talk to the kids about that. So it's about being not only responsible pet guardians, but also responsible community members. So we do a lot of community-oriented stuff during that 2 weeks. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, the Saturday graduation, we have a big graduation with pomp and circumstance. And they walk and they give a little speech and they show the trick that the dog learns. And we usually have local dignitaries, Shasta County Board Supervisor members, City Council members from Reading and Anderson. Sheriff usually shows up. We get certificates from Sacramento as well as locally. And so it's a big deal for the kids, and they graduate. And I've told every year, whether they're a return camper or they're a brand-new first camper, parents are there for the orientation to fill out all the paperwork and everything, but they get to see them get their dogs for the first time, and it's a very controlled chaos thing. But I always tell them that look for the change in the kids and the dogs over 2 weeks, because it's going to be immense, and it always is. And I'm never...
And you bring in, sometimes you bring in these kids with their dog, and it's amazing. It's amazing,
yeah.
how because it builds the confidence in the young people too, especially the younger ones, that hey, I can do this, I can handle this animal. Look what I've taught them to do, and you know, it gives them a step up in life.
It does, and I've seen a lot of transformations from the kids. We had one girl in particular who was very shy and reserved. And a few years later, she was the drum major for a local high school, and leading a bunch of people. And I just couldn't be more proud of her, you know. And I mean, I have so many stories like that of kids that have just really grown from camp.
How do you sign your child up for this?
Well, so next year is going to be a little difficult, more so than normal, because we are giving the people that lost the first camp first chance. Registration, still get a little earlier registration, but our registration is February 1st, and it fills up by about 9 o'clock February 1st. We fill up and have a waiting list. We had about 20 people out the door waiting at 7:30 February 1st this year. So February 1st is when that happens. If you follow us on Facebook, you'll see that. We'll make a couple of announcements for that. You can also get the registration packet, the application and everything on our website, havenhumane.org. And one of the things the kids have to do is they have to write an essay of why they want to be in camp. And it needs to be 200 words minimum. And some of those essays are very heartwarming. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. We're here with Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane. We were just talking about Camp Love a Pet that had unfortunately had to be canceled for June, but they're keeping their fingers crossed for July to be able to do it. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. Located right in the center of Reading, and it's Northern California's premier retirement community. Gourmet chef, if you're there, you don't have to worry about what's their toilet paper, what's their hand sanitizer. You know, gosh, am I going to be, you know, do I have to go out to the store? No, you didn't have to go out to the store because they take care of everything there. It's not assisted living, it's senior living, and they welcome pets. And they, if you give Brian a call at 238-5981, because you're saying to yourself, you know what, it's time. It's time to be able to, you know, maybe rent myself a one-bedroom or two-bedroom place and then use that as a place to have my stuff and then be able to go out and travel, see the world, see the kids, all of that. Give Brian a call, 238-5981. River Commons Senior Living. Worry less, smile more. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living.
One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. More than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, our last segment today, this morning. Tomorrow, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer will be with us talking about the impact CV-19 has had on veterans issues here, where the VA clinics opening in June, and not until then, I think like June the 22nd. So there'll be, and there's a number of other things that are going on, you know, about CV-19 and treatment, plus many other things. So Celestina Trebert will be with us tomorrow morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. They're open. Yep, they're open. And this is what happened. Yesterday we had, because we had guys coming in, because we're revamping the studios with cameras and stuff. So they came in here, and I forgot my appointment. So I called down there. I said, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's okay. I said, can you get me in today? Oh, no. Tomorrow? No. When? Friday. But I'm going to go down there and show you what they're doing, because this has got to be the most sanitized area in Shasta County. I'm talking about maybe not the hospitals, but anything else that I've ever seen. Disposable aprons, the ones that go around your neck, 10 minutes of sanitizing, washing with soap and water, their tools they have there. Their equipment, sweeping the decks. You know, everybody sits on the chair that's got a covering over it, and you get a fresh covering. I mean, you can't get any cleaner than what they're doing here. Plus, they're trained to do this, you know, when they go to school. But they only work, and they work on appointments anyway. So nobody's sitting in there waiting. You show up, and you wait outside until they wave you in. So give them a call at 244-9478. Don't call them too much because I need to get in there.
Now, will they be able to deal with your dreadlocks? Or?
My dreadlocks. Yeah. Well, look who's talking here. You know, that man bun you've got on your head.
Clearly the pot calling the kettle black.
That's right. You know, when you took your hat off today, there was a man bun.
Yeah.
It was a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cypress Square Barbershop. I'm here with Mark Story. and again, I want to thank him for his service. Mark's a retired Air Force veteran. And yesterday, Linda said, because we have a Marine living across the street from us, younger Marine veteran who also retired, and he's got up a flagpole, and he said, "Do you think people will mind if I put a flagpole up here?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, sometimes people," I said, "nobody's going to care. They're going to like it." So he put a flagpole up, so he's got the American flag and the Marine Corps flag. And Linda saw him out there yesterday playing with the kids, and she almost said, "Happy Memorial Day." And she said, "Then I realized that Memorial Day isn't
not a happy day.
It's not a happy day.
No.
So, but that you wanted to remember for the people that fought for this country, that gave their lives for this country.
Yep.
And it wasn't always they were there, then they were gone. In many cases, it was years later. And they suffered the wounds in combat, but years later, either through Agent Orange or suicide years later, that war killed them.
Yep.
And, you got to be thinking about that. Not all scars show. But the Agent Orange has been going on since Vietnam, and it's still taking its toll. And it's taking its toll on their families because it seems to be as they're passing on some of the sickness that they had. So it's just it's not just those killed in battle right then. It's just they were killed. It just took them a lot longer.
And I'll say that I saw on my Facebook yesterday that a lot of people were reminding people that, hey, today is a day to remember and appreciate all those that gave all for us. And I think predominantly that was across Facebook, which was great. So I think people know, and I think the majority of our country knows that and appreciates that, and it's great. So.
Yeah, and then you see the New York Times with their editorial. Racist Department of Defense. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I didn't.
It was pathetic. It was just pathetic. So everything's open?
Yeah, so Kitten Nursery. I want to talk about the Kitten Nursery.
Oh, yeah.
So the Kitten Nursery is open. It's fully up and staffed right now. We are still looking for two more staff members, but we've pulled from two different other areas to man that. So that is up and running. So we will be able to start saving kittens. We actually started that up last Tuesday. So it's been a week that's been up and running. So be on the lookout. We're going to do a kitten. We were going to do a kitten shower in person, but unfortunately it's a very small room. So we're not able to do the kitten shower in person like we did last year, but we are going to do a virtual kitten shower. So keep an eye on our Facebook page. It's going to have the stuff that we need, that we're looking for some donations to help with the kittens. That will all go straight to the Kitten Nursery to help with them for this kitten season, which, it usually goes from April till sometime into late November. And last year we saved over 200, and this year we were hoping to save more, but, obviously we're getting a little bit of late start, but I think that Kate and her team in there are ready to go. So saving some kittens, and we got some kittens in there already. So, we're going to build up till we're at capacity, which won't take long, but we're going to continue to save throughout the year. So I'm proud of them and the work that they're doing.
I think I'm going to try and I'll come down and get a cat lady starter pack. it's a six pack of kittens mm-hmm. and deliver it to my friend Lisa because she loves cats and she's got three that will fight if they get a chance.
Yeah, you might not want to bring kittens into that.
One's a car fight, car fire. kitty,
yep,
who was full grown but small and had its ears singed during the fire, and she adopted it.
Yeah.
And that one's ruling the house right now.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
So, okay. Well, Mark, thanks so much. And thanks so much for what you all do for our community, because, you know, if you didn't have Haven Humane, you think we've got a lot of homeless. We would be up. We would be, I mean, the dogs and cats that we would have around here. And being a no-kill for dogs and quickly approaching that for cats is a huge accomplishment that you've managed here over the last few years. So it's nothing but a big shout-out to you and all your people, all your volunteers, because I know you can't do anything without volunteers.
No, our volunteers are amazing.
Are you having a volunteer orientation?
We're not doing volunteer orientations yet. We're probably going to start them in June.
Okay.
Is when we're planning on doing that. But the volunteers did come back last week as well. Again, we're scheduling them out. We couldn't do it without them. And then we really missed our green shirt heroes. They're amazing. So
sure,
to have them back has been definitely a highlight for the entire staff. But, you know, I want to thank you and, you know, KCNR, you know, everything you do for the community is amazing. And you know, we do great work at Haven, but we can't do it without this community and the support that we get from the community. It's a team effort. And I've said that from day one, that we can't take this task on alone. It's got to be community. So we're thankful to be part of this community.
There you go. Okay. It's going to be up 98 today, everybody. Take care. Drink a lot of water. Hydrate. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys, which are you.
Center. Your life. Your health. Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.